Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast starts now. What the hell is going on? And you are listening to Stradio Lab. That was a groundbreaking introduction. Let's start there. George, how are you?
I am flying so high. I am skipping along the clouds. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. And I said this to you before when you were recording previously, but I am having one of those 12-hour periods where I wish my entire life was as well structured as this 12-hour period.
God, what an amazing feeling.
Which only then makes you almost counterintuitively upset that that can't be an actual goal that you can have, because the whole point of that 12-hour period being so special is that it's different from the rest of your life. And so I would say navigating the, you know, I'll say it, come down from that realization. Mm. And you're catching me like mid, I'm in the air falling this, as I am recovering.
George, but it hasn't even ended yet and you're already in the come down?
You know what? And it hasn't ended, because we have like such a great guest today. I'm feeling energized.
Mm-hmm.
The protein bar that I had mere hours ago is coursing through my veins.
Beautiful.
And I would say my abandonment issues with you are at a manageable level.
That's good. I you know how I've been saying that I like LA now as of last weekend because of the Lime scooters?
Because you discovered Lime scooters. Yeah.
Well, actually today it almost all fell apart. And
what happened?
Well, the thing about it is I've had 4 to 5 errands that I need to run, and trying to figure out the order in which I can run them most efficiently, where I spend too much time trying to figure out that order, where it all falls apart and I can't do any of it. I'm dangerously close to doing that. Before this recording, I was like, okay, get food, go to Target, go to a coffee shop, send emails, and guess what I did of those? Food.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And I only did food, because I was even like, okay, well, maybe I can try to squeeze the gym in. And it was like, no, no, no. And so all I did was get food. And then I came here.
Can I
go ahead?
Have you seen the Kelly Reichardt film Showing Up, starring Michelle Williams?
And featuring Eudora Peterson?
Yes, featuring Eudora Peterson.
No, I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell.
Okay,
don't
so tell. Long story short, it is about a sculptor. And, you know, you could say we are sculptors of words and sounds. It's about a sculptor. And sort of the entire premise of the film is that she's preparing for this big show, but annoying logistical and personal things keep happening that keep dragging her away from the task at hand.
Okay, relatable.
And it
legend.
Is sort of a genius, it's sort of a genius premise for a movie. In that it is so universal, and I sort of have never seen it on screen. Like, it's just her trying to do her work, and then her hot water is done. So then she has to go talk to her landlord, and then her sort of problem child brother is having a crisis, so she has to go deal with that. Then she's having drama with her mom. Then she's having drama with her day job. Then she puts the... Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but it escalates, let's just say. And I'm sort of just like, wait, is that, in fact, the most profound movie ever committed to film?
Potentially. I mean, that is all that life is like having a goal and having that goal be interrupted by little inconveniences.
Well, and not just that, but of course, then... the more, let's say, privilege, money you have, whatever, the more you can actually outsource the inconveniences. I mean, it's like, it becomes like a structural, sort of structural issue.
I mean, people with assistants, that's where things get really complex for me. Because then I'm like, whoa, so you're completely free. That's like, I'm scared of that. Actually.
Yeah, well, of course, it's a double-edged sword, because I imagine if I had an assistant, I would think that he was doing everything poorly. And then, of course, the push and pull of that would maybe even make my life worse ultimately. Although I do want someone to just like book my flights.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I think I would feel self-conscious if I had an assistant that I didn't have enough emails for them to send. Like, they'd be like, this is my whole job. And I'd be like, yeah, it's just those four today. And that
Can
would
I tell
really
you
hurt.
Something?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we are subconsciously poogifying our podcast.
Poogifying.
Like, this is such a poog conversation, and I'm having like a mid conversation realization that we are like cosplaying poog in a way that we don't normally. That's not what our podcast normally is like.
It's hard not to.
And I'm feeling it happening in myself.
You know
what
it is?
Oh no, our guest is going to think that we are
ripping.
We are a ripping off poog.
I think what it is that our guest is here, and we're so excited because we want to pick her brain, honestly, and just sort of like see where it goes. And so we are even starting to try to almost bait her into speaking.
I know. I'm like, there is a part of me where, even though we told her not to speak, and we will at some point bring her in, even though we told her not to speak, I'm actually kind of offended she hasn't.
Well, yeah, I was like, well, clearly that's interesting enough for you to hop in.
Are you joking? I've literally, this has been the hardest. Okay, Evan, you said...
Okay,
I
please
thought
welcome
I wasn't
Jacqueline
allowed.
Novak.
I literally thought I wasn't allowed because you were saying, you know, it goes on longer than our guests sometimes like. Okay, I have a million things to say, and I consider taking
please,
out...
Please, Jacqueline, please go.
I consider taking out my phone in order to take a couple notes so that you guys taking sips.
We're both sipping.
Yeah.
We're both sipping.
First of all, I love you voicing that... concern or experience or whatever of feeling like you're, because that is, I know exactly what you mean, and I feel like I would be doing that too. It would be this thing like, yeah. And I don't know if that's I get it. It's like you get pulled towards this magnet of kind of this thing that's, it's weird. It's a
well,
weird
it's sort
feeling.
Of, I feel this way sometimes if we have like a straight male guest, which for us is like a little more rare, where suddenly I'll be like, yeah, dude.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh God.
Yeah, last time actually we did talk, like we had a straight guy on, and I'm pretty sure you, George, said like something about getting pussy.
No.
I did.
And it
I was repeating something he said. I was repeating something he said.
Right. You weren't but nonetheless, the words but here's the question,
the
is
words
it a gift?
Getting pussy came
yes,
out of my
right,
mouth.
Right. Is it a,
I can't, oh
is
God,
it a gift?
I can't even believe okay. I did it again.
No, I'm scared. I didn't even repeat it at you. I couldn't do it. But I feel like it's a gift or a skill or something, right? To be able to kind of, when you're listening to someone, to get into their language, their, you know, like into that, right? It's a very, it's a kind of fluid, adaptive thing. That seems like it's like a skill.
Well, an improviser's delight.
an improviser's medley of yes.
I love,
exactly.
I can't, you can take the boy out of UCB, but you can't take the improv out of the boy. It's,
well, is there
I'm
anything more,
to this stuff, unfortunately.
Like, no, that, yeah.
Is there anything more beautiful than in fact relating to someone?
Right.
Than actually drawing a connection where previously there wasn't one.
Well, if just to, sorry, both things I addressed. It's like, because the mirroring, right? The mirroring of the other person, I mean, that's like a classic thing, right? Forming the connection, and it just happens. But then I sometimes feel like after the fact, oh, I sort of disappeared. I just went into mirroring. And then you see someone else who does not budge in the face of a social interaction. And and their essence is so just... and that always impresses me. It's like, wait, I didn't know you were allowed to just sit there in your... in your identity in that way, like that you didn't have to like reach out and be.
Well, even
be
the metaphor of a mirror implies that one person is the person and one person is the mirror. And so, in any, I mean, it it can't just be two mirrors talking to one another. Right. Like, even though it seems almost like mirroring is this way of, mutual, as I was saying before, like relating to someone and mutual connection, it actually, by definition, draws this incredibly hierarchical, like incredibly like violent. Hierarchical,
the disappearance where, of one.
Exactly. Yeah,
I love being the mirror. I'm realizing, I even find it with my clothes. I like now that I'm in LA, I'm like, well, I can't dress how I used to. What do I? What am I here? Because it's a different. I have to fit in with the people here.
No, I always feel that way about like going to like my boyfriend's family or something, right? Like on a holiday. That's just like. And I sort of resist it. I don't turn into what I think of as like a girlfriend of a son. You know what I mean? Like I don't fully do it because that would make me feel like, I don't know what, like there's like a certain kind of outfit or something that I would associate with that. And so I sort of refuse to, I pretty much go over like kind of a slob, but it's definitely in my mind. You know, I'm not going in there with like my fashion sense. I'm not, you know, it's
well,
like,
there's two types of mirror where you're mirroring what that you want them to see, or you know what you're supposed to be and you're running in the opposite direction.
Right. Which remains, you're still in relation to. Yeah. It's no better than
just doing
like,
what they
doing
want.
The thing. Yeah. In both cases, it's all about them, their projection and like, yeah, I just, but I'm comforted that there's other things that we can't control in ourselves where we're arguably being, like, I might think I'm mirroring, like, oh, I completely lost myself and I'm mirroring the shit out of whoever, like, I just came in and talked to. Sorry, dropped the first curse of the episode.
No, we're allowed to.
but there's probably things that do retain. You know, like, there are things that, like, someone else might be like, no, you were completely your usual like asshole self in all these ways.
Oh, I actually love that of you thinking you're like, oh God, like I completely disappeared and my personality was gone. And then someone's like, you're being so weird and annoying the whole time in a way only you could have been.
Like you were, it's like when people are like, you're like, you know, like, oh, like don't take a photo of me now, like whatever. You know, I look terrible. And it's like, you look exactly like you always do. Like no one is going to be confused by this photo.
That's hard.
I know. Yeah. I know. And it's like, but it's also, it's like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But I mean, unless they're someone who is, you know, complete transformation in terms of how they daily present themselves, the average person, like in terms of looking good versus not, it's like, yeah, that they can see that that's you, not, you know, not as good, but it's not fundamentally changing like their belief about what you
totally.
I don't know.
But
yeah.
What about when someone says that a picture of you that you think is bad is a good, is like actually points it out as a good picture and is like, this is such a great photo of you.
Yeah. What do you do?
Complicated.
Do you go, cause I feel like it's like, really? And then dig for more. Like, or is it, oh, okay, because I see these six flaws that maybe I don't have to worry about as much as I thought.
I think the weirder part is when they like the, like what you see as a flaw, they see as a, like a good thing. Like, whenever I shampoo my hair, it gets very poofy. And it drives me insane.
Yeah.
And my lover is like, I like that. I like when your hair is like this. And I'm like, but that's the bad version.
Amazing. Now do they specifically like... Sorry, I'm like about to get into hair product, okay? Because you like it, you like the next day hair, whatever.
You
like once it's settled a little bit.
Yeah.
But do you have a good product that you use post shampoo?
No.
Where you're just getting out, you're just sort of flying, like the air is just hitting the hair.
And... I sometimes do like a sea salt spray, but that's
it. Yeah.
Because I don't know, and the experimentation process seems too shameful for me to really dive into.
Well, it's risky.
Yeah.
I mean, hair product, if you go for it, then you got to get right back in the shower if you overdo it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
so
hell.
I just leave it because I know that tomorrow it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I just wait it out.
Yeah.
I do think you are so, maybe this is like my own issues and insecurities, but I feel like your hair journey and your grooming is so effortless. Like, I feel like you can just like get out of bed and you have like a perfect little curl in your hair, mustache perfect, so cute. And I mean, one of the reasons I started buzzing my hair, where I was like, I never in my entire life have had a good haircut. I have actually like I have hair that people would be envious of. I have like, I have thick hair. Luscious. I have like an okay hairline, like whatever. I've never been satisfied leaving the barber. And so I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm just gonna, whatever. Then
have you tried with proper stylist or just barbershop the whole time? an artist. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I've never been satisfied
leaving the supercuts. You know?
right.
So I got rid of all my hair. No.
I feel like often what'll happen, and you know, now I've buzzed it for a while, but I feel like in the early, thank you. In the early 2010s, it would always be like some lesbian that like basically gave me like a real like sort of undercut with like a thing like too alt, even when I would ask for something a little more simple.
You need to go to like, and then the Brooks Brothers salon. It doesn't exist, but
I know.
Maybe it does.
But it should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Also, George, though, I think you have the thing where like when you are a little bit off, you're like, I'm so off. Like,
I know you'll have
the buzz cut and he'll like wear a hat and take the hat off and oh, everyone can see my hair is so messed up.
Draw
it's like,
so
your hair
much
is
attention.
This long. It's not messed up.
You know what's, I actually was thinking about this yesterday when I did my show, where I was like, that it was the first time I hadn't in the beginning warned everyone that it was a work in progress.
Huge.
Yeah.
And I was like, duh. Like, why would I ever say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you warn everyone like in advance who's coming or?
I've been workshopping a new hour and I've only done it 4 times.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is actively new.
Yes.
And so, and in the beginning, it even like on the poster would say like sort of work in progress or whatever,
classic,
which I no longer say, but I would in the beginning, I think what it is I never am someone who brings notes on stage.
Yes.
And for these shows, I have been bringing notes.
Yeah.
So I feel the need
to warn,
to address that and be like,
not be shocked by the notes.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you could certainly bring the notes on stage and say nothing, and the notes imply that in a way that I think is still self-aware, because of course you don't think you're fooling anyone that it's not a work in progress. You know what I mean? It's like the self-awareness you want to communicate, probably.
I had a little, I had a line that I want to run by both of you that I did last night that I think worked, which is I had my notes and then I said, you know, apologies for my notes. All my jokes tonight are topical takes on today's headline, so I haven't memorized them yet, which I think was sort of enough self-awareness.
I'm confused because
we have to workshop it.
I would never suggest anything needs to be.
Please.
So I immediately go, is there an inherent joke there that because it is absolutely not topical, this show?
I think it's just the idea that I would do an hour of comedy, all of which is on today's headlines.
See, because that is not outrageous enough of a premise to me
to actually be
like not believable.
Totally.
I mean, I think to another comedian, like,
yes. You're absolutely right. It's very
audience,
comedian. Yes.
Oh,
the audience doesn't.
Yeah.
Forgetting about the
other
comedians is one of the great challenges.
One of the hardest things to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I base my entire thing
what they're going to think.
Yeah.
Back of the room.
To hear like a Guy Branum laugh from the back of the room.
If one,
God, yeah.
When a comedian has seen like something I've done 1 million times, I'm like, well, they're here, so I can't do it. And it's they just will see it a million times.
It is a must get over, and it is so hard to get over that because no one's seen anything ever in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And yes, the comedians have and whatever, but like, that's, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you got to do your work. Okay. You're a showman. Okay. And you're for the people. You know
what
I mean?
It's true.
And the work is for the people, you know.
Well, I do like the idea of like someone in a different job, like someone that is working construction, looking at his coworkers and being like, I know you've seen me do the wall like this before, but I mean, this is just the task at hand.
Yeah, do they need to, do they need to
disclaimer,
freshen it up, like show that they've still got it, yeah, or that like they're approaching it in a new way? Like,
I want to bring up the, like, okay, talking about your notes, to me, I'm sort of like, yeah, well, people get it. Like, people will be along for the ride.
No, this is actually a big, yes. And this is a big difference between you and I. I think you, and I actually think you are 100% in the right about this. But when we, like, when we were on tour together, and even when we do live shows and stuff, my instinct will be like, let's mention that the show started really late because there was an issue. And it's like, people know it started late. Like, I'm like, let's make a joke about it.
And I'm always like, run forward.
Not needed.
They're fine. They're okay.
Yes. Now that is really, you're sort of lean towards parenthetical. Sort of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say everything I've ever said has been a parenthetical.
No, I've felt that way
never,
in myself.
And the parentheses have never closed.
Yes. Yeah, there's layers. You just keep doing a right-hand parentheses, you know, or parent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, I feel that a lot, too. It's an obsession with them knowing that you know or something, or it's...
Yeah.
It's... And I sometimes have to, I have to go, okay, maybe not. Because also, you know, to have them have impact, right? Like, when it's everything. It's hard, though. It's hard.
It's hard. Well, it's also, you start fetishizing the, you know, that sort of jittery intellectual quality where you're like, oh, the more I'm constantly commenting on what I'm doing, the more... I'm being so, you know, culture critic.
We've got a froze.
What a nightmare.
Oh, this is one of the worst things that could ever happen.
Has this ever happened here?
Not entirely.
Six cameras and, you know, someone's streaming too many shows next door in the loft.
Yeah, we share the internet with all the homes here.
Yeah, everyone got online a minute ago.
I can hear you guys.
Oh, wait, you're back. Did you hear us?
Am I back? I've been able to hear you this whole time.
Oh, really?
I figured.
That's one of the more painful things.
Yeah, I figured you could hear us.
There was some foreshadowing for me. Yeah. There was some foreshadowing for me because you first became super blurry, and I was like, here it comes.
I know, I know. What about that first moment? The first moment that you acknowledge with other people that it's breaking up? Like, because there's a moment on like a Zoom or something where... You go, like, they break up a little, and it's kind of like, are we all gonna, one, are we all seeing that, you know, are they breaking up for all of us, which they are.
Yep.
And then going, like, are we gonna broach it, or did we basically hear what they said, and now it's fine again?
Yeah.
It's like a weird,
I mean, you know,
like,
what's crazy is, this is just what we were just talking about, of, like, do you address it, or do you keep going? Yeah. It actually, life imitates art.
Yeah.
Yes, and of course, I'm digging in, because... Here's a talk about the improv. It's like the wrinkle has appeared.
Well,
we must go with it, right?
Yeah.
It's all a gift. Like, you have to play it straight until, right? Don't force the wrinkle.
The weird thing has happened.
The weird thing happens and then play that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you believe that?
I do believe that.
I mean,
in
a strict sense?
Kind of.
Like,
I mean, but this is different. Oh, he's trying to speak.
No.
No, he's not trying to speak.
No. No.
Oh, interesting.
Is that a fake?
I'm not trying to speak.
This is amazing.
I was actually enraptured in what everyone was saying.
Okay, well then.
No, but we hear words and we're not seeing your lips move.
Yeah, I think the video
Something's
and the sound
off.
Are not mixed
okay.
together.
Because I actually thought
you were doing
a ventriloquism like thing. Like, this is so odd to not get the live reaction. Sorry, everyone, that my face is so heavily moisturized today.
No, never apologize
I believe
for that.
In
Do you
being
feel like
greased.
You're shiny? You don't look shiny to me.
Man, I'm bouncing light, but I
I think we're both shiny.
It's fine, but I just want everyone to know it's highly expensive product. Okay,
well, I'm sure.
Resting.
Well, we wouldn't expect anything less.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We are both dealing with such different issues in our day-to-day lives. You have a full-time job in Los Angeles. You've had to uproot your home. You have to figure out work-life balance. Meanwhile, I am a freelancer in New York City. How do I fit it all in one day? How do I create my own schedule? What am I, some boss lady in a film?
You know, it's so hard. You have to be boss and employee. But you know what? We can't keep these things bottled up. You know, we need to let them out.
That's right. People all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And when you bottle them up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
I'll tell you something. Therapy in the past for me has been just a place where once a week I can tell someone what I'm thinking of in a safe and enclosed space where no one can enter and ask me to send an email, because it is my time and it is my time for therapy. And everyone deserves that in all across this great nation.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and hey, suited for your schedule.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stradio today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stradio. Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I want to, while I'm not delayed, yeah. I want to bring up the thing that I wanted to bring up before, oh, yeah. Which at this point we're so deep in much more interesting topics that it barely yeah. is going to register.
No, we need this.
A little thing you thought
what
you
I
needed.
Wanted to say, yeah. No, this actually, talk about another... Yes. Whatever, dynamic yes. between me and Sam is I'm always like, I have to have the thing in my back pocket in case yeah. it's complete silence where I can bring it in.
Complete silence. It's hysterical. Who are you interviewing, right?
Like, well, and that's where I'm, surely, I'm like, there's
wait,
no
wait,
way we
growling.
Can.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, wait, sorry. Just, no, my like, stomach shall growl and it will probably get picked up by the mic. I just need you to understand. It's intermittent fasting. It is what it is. Okay, wait, sorry. Back to it. Now I'm relaxed.
Well, George always wants to have like some, like almost a bulleted list of things he could talk about. And I'm always like, but let's just see what happens.
No, you know what? Yeah, because you know what? It's like, you won't fight to the death in the same way if you have like a life raft.
Yeah. And you'll never, it will never be as
sink or
interesting.
Swim. Sink or swim. No, because you probably see your eyes start to go towards, and you realize he's out of the moment. He's out of the moment. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about reaching for the life raft. There's a ditchable quality versus yeah. sink or swim. I mean, it's like someone, have you ever seen like, sorry to bring up improv again. Okay,
please.
One of the ugliest subject matters available, right?
Yeah.
But if someone like pulls out it would be completely not okay if someone pulled out like a little bit they
oh, it would make
had
me
written.
Sick.
Yeah. And they were like, I got this thing ready for us just in case.
Well, it robs yeah. you. The whole point
Can
is the discovery. That's
yeah.
the whole point. And
yeah.
that's and
they
that's...
get their foot on the side of the swimming pool. Like, they're not going to, how can you trust them to tread water with you?
You literally can't.
It's, anyway, sorry.
But I think
let's
this
meanwhile,
get to
I'm
that
on life the sidelines
raft.
Ready to bring
let's
up
get
my.
Get to that life raft. Okay.
Literally, as you guys are saying, like, God, it would be so lame and not cool
no,
if someone brought in
this.
Something. I'm like, I have my prepared
yeah,
thing.
No, I'm dying
so
to
here's
hear
my,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's my prepared thing. Okay, so, Jacqueline, you got in one of your like live show, you know, episodes, you bring up the gay pilot.
Yes. Oh, okay. Literally bring him up.
You brought him up,
you know him?
On the show.
This was in
when we did a show, and that and I
oh,
saw
the
that
venue?
Or I noticed that you said that it was a show in Philly.
Yes.
So I clocked that when Sam no and I more. Did our Philly show, someone in two people in the audience were gay pilots, and one of them was a private jet gay pilot.
And you and spoke I am, to him.
Mm-hmm. We spoke to him, but didn't bring him up. We right. just like sort of spoke to him from the stage. But I was immediately, and I still believe
it was
the same
it
guy.
Be, right? I mean,
it's a small city.
Yeah, and a small network.
But also, I have to say, like, we don't do a lot of crowd work, I would say. So it is like the fact that he was the one person we happened to talk at our
and you
Philly
didn't say,
show.
You know, is there a gay man here or is there a pilot here?
I think
it was like, who are you?
What we
How did it
yeah,
come
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Because I do think you guys were looking for a pilot. We were
oh,
not.
No,
I think we just
he'd
like,
emailed us pre-show, like weeks before, being like, I'm your, because we talked about, gay pilots on the show. He said, mm-hmm. I'm a gay pilot and I'll be at the Philly show. And we said, we shall interview you because we talked so much about turbulence.
Well, so we truly just like asked someone, you know, what do you do? Or maybe, and it was him. And it was him and his friend. And he's a private jet pilot and his friend is a commercial pilot. And I was like,
well,
wow. Like,
need to know about him because I've got questions that apply specifically to commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought there was a tone in my voice when he came up and revealed he was jet that I almost sounded a little too like, wait, but I got commercial questions? Like, because it's a different deal.
Well, of course, because your questions are obviously, that's not applicable. I mean, no offense. I don't know if you're flying private, but I would say that's less applicable to
not
you.
Yet.
Not yet.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. Is that the goal? It's hard to say.
It is hard to say, actually. I don't even know if it is the goal. I would feel too disgusting every time.
Yeah. Well, like,
no,
it's
the goal
not
is
good.
Just flying business.
Yeah, that is actually
that's
the goal.
Enough.
That would be nice.
Oh my God. It's unreal.
Yeah.
I did it recently. It was, sorry, the stomach just will not stop. It was a Netflix. Okay. They sent me New York word around the press. And so I got put in business and baby, did I enjoy it. It was
when Sam and I flew
so
business
good.
Once because someone paid for it, it was, we were literally like, we are voting Republican in the next election.
How did it change you? How did you embrace it?
So I've done it a couple times upgrades. Back when I had, was traveling with a cat, there were a couple times I just shelled out because it was whatever. So I've been up there a few different ways, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been put there, I've been upgraded there, and I've even shelled out on occasion.
Wow.
Wow.
All three ways.
Just to be completely transparent, right?
Yeah, thank
then
you.
Then I realized, okay, I cannot afford it or whatever at the time. I don't want to affirm that because I plan to afford it again shortly,
Of course.
Strategically chose, okay, to not expend energy that way. So... have you ever done this? Have you ever been referred to money as energy exchange by like a healer?
No.
Or yoga, like it's free, but like we do think like an energy exchange of $15, like class word is, well, anyway, sorry. I got distracted. Okay. So anyway, up there, yeah. Okay, I accept the champagne.
You accept the champagne?
Or is it
champagne
actually champagne?
Yeah,
I think it's, it's sparkling wine, something.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, yes. I enjoy it. I mean, it just... And then I start looking at the menu.
Ooh.
You know what really feels like next level, kind of like if you're in those things, is to ignore... Like, this looks like some pro move. People really comfortable there. They don't even, like, open that little, like, gift bag thing that they sometimes have. Like, they're like, I know it's in there and I don't give a shit. And they're not, like... Versus like opening it up and feeling
like fun.
Yeah, everything is coming home with me. Like, oh, these earplugs are coming home with me. This little eye mask, like this tiny serving of whatever. It's like they're just like left there. And that's sort of like, oh, these people, like, they're really doing it.
Yeah, this is not, the novelty is gone. Wait, Jacqueline, I have a question for you. When you paid for it yourself,
how?
My fear would be, no, I'm not going to ask you to explain yourself. My fear would be if I paid for it myself, it's so expensive that I would be so focused on getting my money's worth and things being good enough to warrant that price the whole time that it would actually ruin the experience. I would rather just be in coach. Did you find that compared to getting it for free?
Because it was mostly around being able to travel comfortably with my cat and her being accepted up there, like they were like allowed up there or something.
Yeah.
You know, it was like all worth it. It was like, how do I get like me and Mabel back to Los Angeles? You know, like it, so it was just it sort of had its function. And so that just felt like, well, there's no other way, you know, whatever. I experienced what you're talking about in hotels. Big time, big time. That's where I have to ask, would I rather pay less and be sort of delighted by, you know, this place is actually kind of glance around and go, it's clean.
And you're allowed to dislike it if it's cheap.
Yeah.
You're like, well, this sucks.
Yeah, and it's fine.
And that's good.
It's fine.
I kind of feel this about Los Angeles in general right now in my early stages of being here, because people keep saying like, oh, the weather's amazing. Like, you just feel so relaxed when you're there. Like, it's just a different pace. Like, you'll love it. I'm sure
and
you'll love it.
And you're not feeling that?
And I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, as you said.
And that might
like
be
distracting.
Me.
No, it's me. Like my stomach doesn't usually growl this way, and I'm trying to understand why. Okay. It's not just because I haven't eaten yet. Okay. I'm like, what did I do wrong? Okay. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, I feel every single flaw I find in L. Like, I was eating dinner outside the other night,
yes.
And there was a bug flying around.
Your ass off?
And
okay.
First of all, I'm freezing.
Yeah.
Then there was a single bug flying around, and like, there aren't that many bugs here. And I was like,
right.
Well, why is this here?
No,
like, I was
right.
Sort of like,
the promise.
I'm paying
now,
for
are
no
you,
bugs.
Is it costing you more to live here than New York? I guess it depends on
right
what,
now.
If you sort of upgraded.
No, but right now my apartment here is cheaper than my apartment in New York, but I'm still paying for my apartment in New York because it's,
and no one's in there, no sublet.
So my boyfriend's there.
Okay, sorry. I'm obviously behind on episodes.
But no, but it's complicated.
Asking questions of like, you know, like.
No, my boyfriend's there, but he's gonna come out here soon. And we're like trying to find a subletter. Shout out to any DM me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would actually be toxic.
Honestly, prime real estate. I would love to take a little staycation.
Bushwick.
Great.
Yeah. A Bushwick two-bedroom private backyard.
You're going to come. You're going to, LA, you just need to be seduced in the right way by the, you know.
Yeah.
You need to understand LA. I mean, I think what you need to do, I mean, me and Chris only moved here like a couple years ago, and we went full like, Hollywood, like we got into the Hollywood spirit. We were living on Hollywood Boulevard. It's like, get into like the Hollywood of the whole thing, an old Hollywood, and go to Musso and Frank's. And like,
I did that.
Sam
this
just went to Musso
and it was
Frank's.
So fun.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So sat
in Frank's booth.
Yeah, okay. So that you need to get in that spirit and get into like kind of like, and then this LA kind of idea can come next, and you can figure out what that means to you. But I feel like it's Hollywood, baby. It's Hollywood.
Yeah. That's a good entry point.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's actually similar to, because my suggestion for Sam was sort of adjacent to that, where I said, you think you're an East Side person. And of course, you know, we are in our own way.
Sure.
But why not lean into the beachiness of it? Like, why not go
where
and
are
be
you
like,
living, East Side?
Right now I'm in East Hollywood.
Well, at least you're in Hollywood.
That's true.
<it's> No, I'm more West Side. I mean, I'm like, yeah. You, just because you're in comedy doesn't mean you have to go East Side, okay? okay. From I know it's like Bushwick straight to, you know,
I was looking
whatever.
For like a parallel leap.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like we moved when we were living in New York in like Hell's Kitchen, and we had to move out, and we were looking like wherever. And Brooklyn, like various Brooklyn options were like more expensive than the Upper West Side.
Whoa.
So we moved to the Upper West Side.
Whoa.
And like, you know, that was not, you know, that was not cool. Okay. And we were living like it was heaven. Like it was this tiny apartment, but it had really, you know, the like top of a building. And then like Central Park was our, you know, tiny apartment, but go downstairs and then you're in Central Park. I mean, it was like, anyway, just don't assume. West Side, baby.
This has to do with mirroring, I will say, where it's like, even that, like, I have never had the bravery or confidence. If someone was like, you can live on the Upper West Side for free, I'd be like, no. Like, I'd be like, that's not where my people are.
Yes. And guess what? You don't need your... I mean, if you're like getting lunch with other people in comedy every day, what the hell? Okay, is that really what you want? Don't you see them enough at night at the shows?
It's really,
Do you need them? Do you need them at the coffee shop too? Like, to me, like, I enjoy retreating. Okay, getting on an express. I went express train because of espresso.
An espresso train.
Okay, like I've like locked from saying express.
You've been corrected so many times. Yeah. You've been corrected so many times. Espresso. Then I was like, oh, the espresso.
No, yeah, it literally happened. You saw it. But then you take an express train. Okay, and you're
and back, actually sounded
back
wrong.
To the thing. Yeah, it did sound. It sounds wrong. It sounds simple. But no, yeah, it's this idea and. So, I mean, well, me and Chris have always lived in places that people, like, have a reaction. Just then we moved to Hollywood proper, you know, like Hollywood Boulevard. And people are like, what? Okay. Or they're like, people say, like, the most insane stuff. And the guy's like, oh, you just moved to L.A. Let me, like, tell you all the restaurants. Like, I'm the best restaurant guy there is. And I know everything. And they're like, where do you live? Hollywood. Oh, there's nothing there. You know? And it's like, burn. You know, it's just, it's such an ugly quality. Like, to literally be proud to, and then to articulate it to someone. So it's like, so we always enjoy that. There was a time period in Hell's Kitchen where we're like a block from Times Square, basically. Like, and people are like, oh, God. And it's like, no. Chris has this thing, like, lover boy. Like he enjoys being in a place. You know when people are like tourists? Like, oh, it's all tourists. It's like, he's like, yeah, like, it's great. Like, they're on vacation, and I'm just, like, getting my coffee for the day. Like,
totally.
I live here. Like, it's like... I don't know, just like the whole like hating Times Square thing. You know, it's like it's
hack in a different way.
Yeah. Oh, beyond.
Yeah.
You know what I've had that realization about recently is I've been looking back at, you know, my comedy life and I'm like, wait, should I have gone all in on being a club comedian? Mm-hmm. Like I thought this whole time that was somehow not beneath me, obviously, but somehow I was too alt and too cool and I'm going to perform at basements and coffee shops. And now I'm looking at those people, I'm like, wait, they have the joy of like, if they're performing somewhere where there are a lot of tourists, like performing for completely different people every night and people that are from all over the country. And I am, you know, of course I love performing where we perform, but like
it is,
it's people that are similar to us. Yeah, it's people that live in Brooklyn. It's people that are sort of like upwardly mobile millennial, like queer adjacent millennials. Yeah. And you do sort of wonder like, wait, in my attempt to escape the cliche, I am only embracing an even more limiting cliche.
Right. Like, at least there's a neutrality kind of to, like, in theory, there's a little bit of a neutrality to a club in that, like, you know, any sort of wacky version, like, of, you know, in theory would work in a club if you get the laughs, right? It's like it's like the unifying sort of like tradesman nature of like, well, if you can make them laugh, we'll put you up, which is true, I would say, right? Like, if you could, you know, in a club or something, like, and where I guess in that other like scene and setting, it's a little more like, if the person whose show it is like sees what you're going for,
they respect the potential energy.
They'll put you up, or like, you know, they appreciate what you're like. They see that you're struggling against the same, you know, to resist the same tropes as as you are, and then and you're like, they've got taste, like, you know, and then
damn.
It used to be like, you know, but I kind of was pursuing both, I guess, when I first started. Like, I was very much, when I first started, literally like club, like trying to like get in a club, you know, like just the whole thing. And there was something the harsh nature, the harsh sort of showbiz kind of feeling of like, well, if I did get up there and was able to like show that I can get anyone, any group of people, strangers to laugh, like, you know, there is something kind of cool about that in like
absolutely.
An old school
this
way.
Is how I felt. Yes, this is how I felt, because I started in Boston, and I'm not from there, so it's not like I didn't have any sort of hometown connection to it. But I just happened to be living there, and that's where I started. And that was the exact way I felt, where I had this sick pleasure of like being in a room and it was all guys with Red Sox caps. Yes. And I was making them laugh because I was saying the word Eiffel Towering about gay men doing it.
Well, yeah.
Hysterical.
It also, yeah. The bubble that we're in has gotten more bubbly recently. Like it did start, yeah. Like I even feel like, you know, doing the Pine Box mic in Bushwick sort of where I found myself. And that was like, totally. You know, I felt like, oh, I'm performing for so many different types of guys that I would never like hang out with in my day-to-day life.
You thought that was the wider group, the Pine Box?
Yeah, to me.
Is the Pine Box the broke? Yeah. Club in this analogy? Okay, that's hysterical.
It's literally at least it's not only LGBT.
Yeah. No, right. I can picture that.
I remember being like, these guys are like, I forgot. We're so different, and yet like look at me performing for them.
Well, also the hostile crowd, like the inherent like hostility that I at least always project onto a comedy audience that isn't, you know, like there to see you, which has never been the case for me, except for once I started doing my show, and then they're there on purpose to see the show, even if they don't know me. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different thing, right? But always, comedy audiences like this, you know, I just see them as this thing that, like, if I do nothing, they're gonna hate me, and then like, how far away from them hating me can I get? You know, like, it's just like a failed proposition from the start of my mind or something. And you know, just because, and anyway, I forgot what I was saying. But the hostile crowd, right? Like, and so then I've always projected onto that like a certain kind of, like, I just, if you could get inside the head of the comedian and go like, what are they picturing, like. The personality that they project under the hostile crowd, you know, like, what is it?
I
think mine probably varies. There are different ones. Like, if I were in the club setting that I thought was a very, I don't know, like, traditional whatever, I like think then for them I'm like this weird girl or something, right? And then like in the most, you know, alternative whatever you call it scene, like suddenly I feel like this, like, I don't even know what, like it's just. Yeah, I mean, that's the mirroring thing again, but just the personality of the crowd, like, what the hell are you experiencing?
Well, do you also find that sometimes if you're in a more alt, in a more alt crowd, then suddenly you are taking on the role of, like, the conservative?
Oh,
suddenly
I feel so Republican.
You know, suddenly you're like,
I'm like doing such straightforward
jokes.
These
woke audiences, yeah.
Oh, right. Like, suddenly you can't say anything anymore or whatever.
And you start to actually think that, and you're like, oh no, now it's too late.
Well, right. I saw Guy Branum recently, and he was like, made a joke about how I used to like pour water on myself at shows. And I was like, oh, that's true. I used to do this like bit where I would pour water all over myself. And if I saw someone do that now, I'd like do such an eye roll.
Oh my
and be
God.
Like,
no, wait, why would you do such an eye roll? Because it's too like, it's, is it like meaningless? Like,
it's almost like trying
silly?
Too hard where I'm like, we get it. You're weird. Like, let's move past that.
You got anything else kind of? Like you're like day one, like early kind of like day, like early comedy coming in and like, and like shitting on, like your bit is that you're shitting on what comedians do or whatever. Like that's a classic, right? Like it
that's
is like
classic.
To get up and do bad stand-up comedy, like literally the easiest thing in the world. I'm supposed to be impressed. You know, I remember like whatever. Just you know, it's like try to write one joke.
Yeah.
Try to write one straight joke.
Really put yourself out there.
and see. It's you know that's where it's like, I don't know. It's but this sort of thing of this like. Whatever club alt thing that is always a point of conversation and literally has been
since the beginning of time.
Yeah, it's always and it always seems like I don't know. There's obviously something in that conversation, whether or not the scene like exists, because it's always like someone being like, they're like, well, you see, when I or there actually was an alt scene or there was an alt scene or there's been this. It's like this arguing about the history of this thing, but it's like. Setting that aside, there's obviously like a fiction in our mind that holds like an archetypal thing of sort of what we mean when we think of this and like these two like poles kind of, or maybe it's like two different axes. One of them is like, because it's like, and you're like, okay, you know, it's this oh, you got to get, like, over here, the tradesman who's got to get everybody, got to be able to make this person laugh and this person laugh. So it's going to be, you know, broad. It's got to be repeatable. And therefore, it's going to be low risk and whatever. And then over on this side, like, okay, they're doing whatever, but there's no standards. It's a different, you know, laziness can occur on both sides. Mm-hmm. Playing to the audience can occur on both sides, whatever. It's just like, but there's something fucking compelling about it. So it's like the conversation shall never stop. And like, might as well just like enjoy the conversation. Like, I just am like, we're having a conversation. I'm like, yeah, it's always, and I don't know. The dream is somehow, I guess, to me, is to do it all.
Rise
to sheer icon status.
And be able to read the room and be like, you know what? They're going to love that bit where I pour water on myself.
Yeah.
And like,
oh, yeah. That's exciting, too.
You know, we started Poog, and now we got to WTF.
I'm so glad you said this, because I was like, we're literally WTFing.
We are being so WTF.
I'm sorry. I hate to talk behind the scenes comedy, but I also love it.
We don't do it very often on this.
We don't do it very often, because I think, and
we never do it on Poog.
Not to project on you, but
we never do it on Poog.
Exactly. I feel like you guys also have an aversion to that. You don't want to, you know, sort of like do inside baseball, but then of course it's all I ever want to do.
I'm indulging over here. Sam, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Should we do our first segment?
Oh yeah. We're an hour in almost. I would actually love to do our
first
segment.
Feel free to cut all of that WTF.
No. Jack, just to be clear, I love everything we have done to this point.
And even like, I'm like, I still feel like I want to talk more about it, but I know we can't. Like, I'm like, I know we can't, but I desperately want to. I also, you know, I think it's interesting because I'm very curious how you feel about all of it.
Yeah.
Because you are such a, you know what you want and know who you are, and you've always.
I do.
I think so. Hell yeah. From the outside, it feels like
great.
That.
That sounds phenomenal. I love that.
Yeah. So. Well,
there's an intentionality. There's an intentionality.
Yeah.
There's, you know what you're not doing as a performer? Mirroring.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
You're the
to
person
hear.
And the audience is the mirror.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Fuck yeah. No, I'm dead serious. That's why I'm reduced to hell yeah and fuck yeah. Do your segment. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no.
I got excited.
Okay, so Jacqueline, our first segment is called Straight Shooters. And in this segment, we test your familiarity with and complicity in straight culture by giving you a series of rapid-fire questions where you have to choose one thing or another thing. And the one rule is you can't ask any questions about how the game works.
Yeah.
You can't ask any follow-up questions. If you do, we will actually completely change our tune on you and dislike you.
And am I picking a favorite
you,
or am I saying that's
I
a straight?
I am sensing a question
oh, already?
And it has been established that
no,
we're
right.
in the midst of
but
this segment.
Do I say words?
That's a question.
All right.
Jacqueline,
all right,
I'm gonna save you from yourself by starting with the first question. Okay. All right, Jacqueline. Compiling a dossier or stockpiling in the chalet?
Wait. Am I supposed to say mine? Okay, I'm saying, which one I like, or am I trying to be like, here's the straight one?
Jacqueline, hold on.
Compiling a dossier or chalet?
Stockpiling in the chalet.
I mean, which one do I want or which one do I live as? I mean, I guess I'm compiling a dossier.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
Well, no one ever is.
Jacqueline, a palindrome or a house that's not a home?
A house that's not a home.
Mm.
Jacqueline, splitting an app or spitting a rap?
I've been spitting our fucking rap, I guess. I shall not split nap unless it's three per person. I mean, it's a whole other conversation for me, but keep it going. This is rapid fire. I'll keep it going.
Okay. Tossing the pigskin or embodying a Kristen?
I love that.
That's beautiful. Tossing the pigskin. I don't know if I'm saying which I'd rather do. You didn't tell me, and so I'm just sort of choosing.
Yeah.
With no explanation.
Jacqueline, reduce, reuse, recycle. Uh-huh. Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll.
A hop, a skip, and a jump.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Or gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Well, gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Okay, Jacqueline, a bottle of water or a long-lost daughter?
Daughter.
Jacqueline, entering a new era or exiting through the gift shop?
Gift shop.
Wow. I mean, that was an amazing
wrap. Wait, did we get through?
That was an incredible...
Now do we talk about
Jacqueline,
it?
Now we can talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So this is like, I feel like... So we rank our guests' performance on a scale of 1 to 1,000 doves. And I have to say, I actually think that was a 1,000. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
Because the journey of uncertainty to complete embodiment, like at the end, you really were just like, gift shop.
Yeah, I agree. There was an arc
there. I felt
there.
There was an arc.
Oh, there sure was.
I would say it was a remont. Wait, what is it called? Buildings remont.
Oh, buildings.
I would say you came of age.
Yes.
You came of age.
Yes.
You were Emma Stone in Poor Things, and you started out baby brained, and you ended an empowered woman.
No, because I had to find my own code.
Because you had
to find your own code.
And that is,
I mean, this talk about our conversation around mirroring. Like this was like you were like, well, I'm mirroring you, and we were like, no, it's about your journey.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
That was
and
actually
to answer,
huge for
you know,
me.
Sort of, yeah. To answer the general question, like the whole point is that everyone's confused, and then you see how they react.
No, totally. And that actually, I was thrilled when you wouldn't let me ask the questions at the beginning because I had to surrender. Okay, and then I became, the journey you saw, right, was then, okay, you guys and the listener all know sort of the game. I don't know whether I am. You know, I don't know what my answers are meaning if there is a specific sort of, you know, I'm supposed to be saying what I like and at the end you're going to tell me how straight I am or not. Okay. I went through that. I literally went through that. I was like, okay, well, I was like entering a new era. I was like, what's coming? Like my interpretations of the whole thing. And then it just became, well, no one's fucking helping me. Okay. So I'm just going to go with So I was hung up on this I was hung up on this straight like thing for a little bit. Like, oh, you think I'm straight and I'm going to say tossing
totally.
The pigskin.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
But then I forget what embodying a Kristen, right?
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, I was like, no, fuck it. I'd rather toss the pigskin right now than embody a Kristen. I don't know. Like, I'd rather even wear the drag of the pigskin character. So then it just became my own code of like, you know, what saying to me.
Yeah.
It's like a Rorschach test. It's
I struggled when I had one of those too. I mean,
of course,
being like with all the parenthetical, like,
well, that I was about to say, like a task like this for someone who is parenthetical inclined is complete.
Yeah.
Is a nightmare because you can't. Basically, you know, what's going through your mind is like, well, I hope they don't think I'm picking this for the wrong reason, but all I can say is what the thing is.
I mean, doing a literal Rorschach test, I can't think of anything that I would get more in my head about because it's like, well, I know this is like revealing something about me.
Exactly.
So I can't even say it honestly anymore.
No, it was a literal, I took a literal one in a formal setting of like a battery of psychological tests once. So it was like, it wasn't like a friend with a Rorschach. It was literally like, absolute real, and then and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was all this like projective, subjective. I think it was this. I forget which one it was, but literally like draw a person, like all the stuff you see in like movies where they're assessing. You know, like they're like draw a person, and then you do it. It's like, and obviously you're sitting there going like, you know, like okay, like I draw a stick figure, like there's like a million ways I could go about it. Like,
just tell me what each one means, and I'll draw the one that I should be.
How like I trying to escape the system, almost like okay, I'm gonna, I'm just like I'm performing for you. So, like, but in the Rorschach, you know, it was like, well, first of all, I'm seeing multiple things at once. If I look at it like that's the whole object, then I see this wolf's face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I'm like, or pull back and I see a whole body of like a sort of person and whatever. Or all of these like have a vaginal thing because they're all literally like folded in half.
Yeah.
Like an ink stamp.
Yeah.
And that depth, like the ink is most inky in the center. Like it's.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, so they're all going to be like vaginas, but like, we know that, right? Like it's a,
that's
you know,
not me specific. That's the form.
Yeah. And doing all that and just talking and basically saying like, you know, insisting on saying like 20 things that I saw. And And then, you know, I'm diagnosed as an over-incorporator, like, and I take in too much, literally, they're like, takes in too much information, more information than, you know, you than is useful. Then
wow.
You can
is that a diagnosis? I guess I'd never heard over-incorporator.
Yeah, it was like, wow. It was a formal, like, it was a word used in that setting, like, over-incorporation takes in vast, you know, more information than you can or would be even useful to process.
Wow.
Whoa.
And so that can be like noticing like a facial expression, like, do you hate me? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, I'll like just sometimes, and sometimes I'll go for it and be like, you know, my mother or something, like feeling completely, because I feel completely free with her. I'm like, oh, I know why you just said that. You just said that because da-da-da, and you're actually thinking that da-da-da-da, you know? And like sometimes I'm dead wrong, but I also become enchanted by what I perceived, like,
of course,
and like I kind of know I'm wrong. It's hard to let go of. I'm like,
well, you know, we have to in this podcast we ring the Joan Didion alarm when yes. we're telling ourselves stories in order to live.
Did
and
you know?
I have to go yeah, ahead and ring the Joan Didion alarm when it comes to your over incorporation.
Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god. Why I write to know myself? I write to know what I think. Or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a Didion. Did you notice that
yes,
on the
yes,
cover of the Year of Magical Thinking, in the title,
mm-hmm.
It's white letters in blue and then the name
yes,
John
yes.
is in there. I don't know if anyone else noticed that. I noticed that about 9 years ago. And I wondered if I was the only person who spotted that that fine
detail.
So I read my Year of Magical Thinking after going through a breakup in my
yes.
20s.
Amazing.
And it is such a specifically, you know, young, dumb gay guy experience
yeah.
to truly be reading about this woman losing her husband
yeah. Yeah.
and be like, I 100% relate to
yeah.
this because I'm going through a breakup with someone that I'm like still friends with.
Incredible. And like, as you should, I mean, that is the right of the bookstore, like browser.
Yeah.
Is to take the most, you know, the biggest, the grandest, the most depthful, and apply.
Yeah.
Apply as needed.
This is like when I have homework.
Yeah, totally. You know what I'm thinking? Like, we do need to sort of land on a straight topic, but I'm like,
oh, I forgot.
You know, we either could take a left turn and choose something, or we could like look back on this conversation.
I actually had a pitch.
Oh, yeah. What's your pitch?
The straight topic is ourselves.
Wow.
I felt like specifically in the stand-up comedy conversation, it was so WTF that I felt like,
oh my God,
we really were like almost in like, who have I become? What was I made for? I remember listening to WTF when I was, you know, 20 and
yeah.
being like, this is what stand-up is. This is
yes.
the real fucking shit.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh no, we're literally doing it. People are
yeah.
going to listen to this
yes.
and be 20 and be like, that's what stand-up is.
No.
That's the real fucking shit.
Now, is it, now, did because you felt, are we were performing a kind of like straight, like, you know, sportsman comedy vibe? Do you think we were doing it?
I think we were doing
by
it.
By trying to almost like double back from, you know, like you were kind of saying about feeling the, you know, the ennui of the alternative scene or something.
The kind ennui of the water pouring.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
We are trying to react against
yeah.
that and almost have the fact that we were, I don't want to say excluded from whatever the
right.
mainstream scene is.
Because it's like, did you audition? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's,
right.
always,
it's like
right.
yes.
I'm not saying
but
you didn't, but like,
of course,
yeah,
of
yeah.
course.
But did you?
But
actually?
It's like being in the, you know what it is? It's sort of being at the window, the like Saks Fifth Avenue
yeah.
holiday window, and looking in and being like, if only I could go in there. Meanwhile, the door is
yes.
open right next to you.
Yeah.
But it has never occurred to you to go inside.
Yeah. No, you're it's like thinking you. It's yeah. It's. Luckily, it's all interesting. Like
yeah.
any
yeah.
path
no.
is interesting,
100%,
right?
100%, yes.
Like any way you go. But it is,
yeah.
Well, I no, sorry, nothing. No, I was just trying to force the topic, but.
I know, I want to, I think it's like a sort of a fun exercise. We've never done it this way before of like, I do like ourselves. I think something along the lines of like, not the past, but like the,
There,
alternative history. Like,
well, yeah.
I think with the stand-up conversation in particular, there's something about like sanding your edges that just inherently happens over time. Yeah. Of like
aging.
Yeah. You get less
the DNA sanded off. Starts making poorer copies. Wait, go on.
Well, you have performed for more audiences. You are like
it's horrifying.
You
have sanding off the edges.
I think the edges.
You need to sharpen the stick.
I mean, one would like to, but I think there's a. You know, it's for me at least, it was like this weird clump thing that yes. like was like,
and that's you,
yeah,
yeah.
And then it was like,
and now
maybe it's molded a little more. But I sometimes miss that weird imperfection that was yes. like so large.
No, but yeah. is the now as you become go from the rough to the polished stone, let's say, of being tumbled about in different environments, right?
Yeah.
Has your success rate gone up? Like, is this like you? The edges sanded off and now you go down easier, like you get more laughs more consistently.
Honestly, I just want to make sure. Think, yeah.
No way.
I think,
like,
yeah.
So it's a metaphor of getting better in your
yeah.
mind. But
yeah.
As someone but I like flaws. And so sometimes I'm like, am I too focused on success
yeah.
to not like pursue what's genuinely interesting to me?
Yeah. Cause I've always felt like it was almost like, you know, in yourself, your own degree of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'd really love to talk about that, or I'd love to pull that, or I think that thing is good, but like, I don't know how to do it. And then it's like, it's kind of like interesting. That's like you getting up in the morning, like, I don't know, like the sculptor or something, like being like, we're talking about sculptors, but like, you know, like, I'm going to do fingernails. Like, you know, in this way, like no one's ever done a fingernail without the limestone crumbling or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like going to do it. So it's like, I always feel like there's a little bit of that kind of like what the gap between what you know you can pull off and like execute well versus like, and I always want to move on to the thing that's out of reach mm-hmm. because it's interesting, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's one of those things, like when you hear like the straightest like comedy piece. I know we're doing it, but just
please,
to like
please.
Dive in even more.
I mean, the topic is ourselves.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I actually think you should.
There's like this thing, like some comedy interview on I don't know, like HBO. It was like from a million years ago. It's like Gary Shandling and Jerry Seinfeld. Okay, this is why, like, me recounting this anecdote is the most whatever thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
People are not obsessed. People yeah. are not expecting yeah. this yeah, on this yeah. episode.
This is so iconic.
This is like, I get, to like, have, I'm now
to,
leaning
for
in.
For us to have, like, for our gay podcast to yeah. have Jacqueline Novak on, and then the topic is Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. It's so incredible.
Can't even believe that. And this is like, yeah, like the projection, the fear of like me not wanting to do behind the scenes like comedy shit because, like, you know, it's like, it eclipses the actual comedy, you know, like mm-hmm. 9 hours talking about comedy and 1 hour of comedy put out, whatever, like personally or something, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or 600, but I'll just do it once just for fun because we were in it. But like, it was like, and you know, we should find it and share it with a listener. Mm-hmm. Which is this moment where like, I think Jerry's talking about once he figures out the joke, like once he figures out the best way it works, just locking it in and just, you know, the intonation, the rhythm, the you know, and then it's locked. And it works, and it's just, don't deviate from it. You found it. You figured it out. And Gary Shandling's like, wow. Like, whoa. You know, like, you're just like, I could never, every time, like I forget what he says exactly, but he's sort of saying, like I couldn't live like that, essentially. Like, you know, and he's like, and that's why you're, like, way more successful than me or whatever, Jerry. You know, and it's like,
oh, wow.
He's kind of like, once, you know, can't help himself, but, like, sort of find it and reinterpret it in the moment and, like, I don't know. I feel like those I vacillate between those two straight yeah. male poles.
Yeah, 100%. Well, also just the revelation, the realization that like the one who is quote unquote more successful is the one who is more rigid, and the one yeah. who is more you know, what's the word, dialectical,
yeah.
is the one who is less successful.
And arguably, though, like, you know, someone could be like, they are both up on that stage as legends yes. of comedy, like, you know, they're both fully being lifted up as whatever. And it's just Gary, like, Shandling being like funny and cool by being like, you know, also there's that, right? Like,
yeah. He kind of, well, right, like, of course, because I'm wins sort of like moment. Gary Shandling is, yeah, Gary Shandling
absolutely.
Is not.
Absolutely, no, it's like relative.
He's obviously successful. Kings, yes,
you know,
yes, no,
King's
no,
there, but he's he sort is, of making yeah. that joke yes. almost to, I think, probably to sort of suggest, like, I'm not trying to call myself some great, like, I'm a true artist and you're, you yes, know, yes.
a tradesman. Corporate
or
hack, yeah.
But it's good. It's like, yeah, that shit, like,
yeah.
Like, it's fun to watch that shit. It's fun to kind of.
Absolutely
is. Yeah. That's like very here's straight.
A, you know what? Here's a real question of gay or straight. And if you had to for the rest of your life mm-hmm. watch either only comedian on comedian conversations or actress roundtables,
oh,
which
no.
one would you choose? Because here's the thing, and this is a really yeah. dark realization. Yeah. I think I'm the number one fan of actress. You know, yeah. I love yeah. watching Julianne Moore talk about a character. If I had to choose a gun yeah. to my head, I would choose comedians.
I
and that is
also,
a really dark. Yeah,
yeah, I would choose comedian as well, which is actually less surprising coming from me, but it's still a bummer. And in fact, sometimes
I don't think it is. I mean, yeah. no, because here's the thing that you know, the actress roundtable. It's like the comedian. You're having a conversation with the director. You're having a conversation with the writer. You're having a conversation with the actor when you're having it with.
That's
I mean,
true.
Like
that's
the
true.
Comedians, all those things. Mm-hmm. So it almost feels like you get to talk. You get to talk about writing. You get to talk about performance. You know, I don't know. Like versus the actor has to. They can't sort of badmouth the writer during the roundtable, right? They can like the text is sort of. The text is what the text was, and they're talking about what they brought to it and whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
They can't.
But I also think yeah. the most interesting thing about an actress roundtable is because they're also poised and clearly, you know, media trained and whatever else. The most interesting thing is those little pockets of truth where you mm-hmm. actually get a peek into how much of a nightmare it probably is to just be like literally a woman in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
to be like cliche.
Yeah.
But like when you're like, you sort of get a peek into like, oh, you were not treated well for the majority yeah. of your life.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, I actually don't really watch actress roundtables so much that I couldn't even yeah. pull the word
that's
out.
That's fair.
No, it's interesting. Like, I'm like, kind of like, oh, that really says a lot. Like, but I also don't watch anything. I don't know. Like, I mean, yeah. that's not true. I watch hours of television every night. That I watch. That I watch narrative programming and, you know, reasonable amount of true crime as we yeah. all do.
I think the actress roundtable thing, I've never watched a full, I just see it, the little clips that people pull yeah. out for mm-hmm. memes and yeah. such. And I actually think sometimes when gay guys are obsessed with it, I am sort of, I feel mm-hmm. a disconnect from my community because I'm like, but what is there other than like what you're coming at this with like.
And is it only the actresses? Is it primarily actresses?
Yeah.
It's really yes. not coming for the actor roundtables.
And it's like, you're not actors. You just think these are like silly ladies.
Well, there is, of course, in the same way yeah. that all gay male like. Whatever, diva worship
yeah.
can be boiled down to, you can either see it as an incredible respect for women right. or as like the most object, like literally the definition of objectification.
Right.
And it's like, right. So if you're pulling out a clip where, I don't know, I'm sure, you know, Cate Blanchett says something that is ridiculous.
Right.
Are you ultimately just making fun of her?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. That's a love that, you know, I guess could lift you up or take you down. That
yes.
that kind of worship, that very specific.
Mm-hmm. And it'll change in a second.
Right. Oh God. That's the fickle.
I don't know if you've seen Capote versus yeah. the Swans, Jacqueline.
I haven't yet.
I haven't either, but I sort of get it.
Just started 2 nights ago, I believe, right?
Yeah.
My friend was telling me that it's great and that I should watch it for the titles alone. That the title treatment was like,
wow.
So
well,
good
the things
that if
they're
I watch
doing
nothing.
With title design. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, title design has been in its flop era for a while, so I'm glad somebody's taking some swings.
There's a couple people out there. I worked with a guy. Anyway, he was phenomenal.
You know what's great? Title design, The Leftovers. Leftovers on HBO.
Oh,
okay, we have to
yeah.
do our... I don't want to keep you too long, Jacqueline.
I'm having fun, but yeah. sure.
Oh, well, I mean, I could literally talk for hours, but I know
think
you're
we should do our
on
final
a global...
Segment.
Do
and
it,
by the way,
do it. Keep it
by the way, I should say... Because since we are approximately 2 hours in and have not promoted your special, I should say you are on a global promotion tour for your Netflix special, Get on Your Knees.
Yeah. Which, if you haven't seen, run, don't walk.
I mean, I will say on the record, I was there first night of previews at
Holy
Carrie
shit,
Lane.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm serious.
So you...
In fact, do you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
I think I might have been... I don't think I planned it this way, but I think I might have been first row.
Whoa.
Okay, let me just feel if I could feel that. Yeah, like...
But I might be wrong. I don't...
Yeah.
I think well, something happened
my performances
where...
are intimate in a way that everyone feels like they're in the first row, even if they're in the very back.
Yeah.
That's how
but
they
you know
remember
what?
It.
Yeah.
No, no,
you know
you have a real
me
reason.
Think maybe I
John
wasn't
Early with a binder?
Is... Exactly. So
yeah.
John was there taking notes,
yes.
And I don't remember being... Next,
right.
I don't remember being in the same row as him, so I think I must have been
right.
Maybe
you remember
in, you know,
peeking
third or fourth
through.
Row. Yes.
You know, yeah. There was a moment where I was like, he thought I forgot something or I did or something. Oh, I know what it was. And he made this gesture like just with his fist that was just kept just doing. And so then I'm distracted by the gesture, like what, like what's going on? And then I like it was like I forgot to say this line about the bouquet, like. And he just, we always laugh about it just because it was like the most nothing gesture that he expected. Like just like if someone's hand was authentically holding, like an improv, like, you know, mm-hmm. a phone is, mm-hmm. is like this, a phone's not the phone symbol, right?
Yes.
So it's like almost like that. Like he's holding a bouquet, like nothing. And I was supposed to receive the bouquet from stage and realize what, like, but it just caused like, anyway. But yeah, those initial preview sales were everything. Really got that shit going on fire.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you. For showing up.
Oh my, of course.
That's huge.
Of course.
You,
that was like pre-pandemic. I mean, that was like what, 2019
majorly.
Probably?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big reopening.
No,
after.
There's I mean, it's been a long
fucking
it's
long,
so funny.
Long.
There's actually another random connect. So
yeah.
Carrie Batten, who
yeah.
wrote the New Yorker piece, is actually a friend of mine.
Oh my god.
And I remember when she was like starting
yes.
it, I was like, what a funny connection.
Yes. She's lovely.
Anyway, but she's great. Okay, shall we do our final segment, Sam?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Jacqueline, our final segment is called Shoutouts. And in this segment, we pay homage to the Grand Street tradition of the radio shoutout and give a shoutout to anything that we are enjoying at all. People, places, things, ideas. Imagine it's 2001 and you're in, at TRL shouting out to your squad back home about anything you like. So, George, you do have one.
Oh yeah, I have one that I actually feel, I thought of it while we were recording and I feel sort of good about it. Okay.
Okay.
What's up, freaks and losers? I want to give a shout out to the technology Bluetooth. And this is a sort of smart one. Here's what I want to say. This is a technology that has existed now for decades and still does not work. I have never been able to connect a phone to a speaker. I have never been able to I have never been able to use Bluetooth correctly. And at first I was like, what are we doing here? How has no one fixed this? And I'm starting to realize that it actually is sort of an empowering narrative of like this technology that has always existed. Everyone knows what it is. And yet it refuses to perfect itself. Mm-hmm. It's anti-capitalist. Yes. It is sort of, it has a free spirit, and it's actually the imperfection of it in the face of so much like algorithmic perfection, you know, that is eating up everything else, almost makes it seem almost like non-digital in a way.
Analog,
like it is a work of art. It's almost, it's analog.
Yeah.
And there's something about it that almost points to an earlier time and earlier technologies. And
totally
I have to say, I really, I end up respecting it. So shout out to Bluetooth.
Shout out to Bluetooth. I love that. I also, the dirtiness of like when you like have to go look at like, I want to connect to the Bluetooth and you see all the Bluetooths you've ever connected to.
And it's
just
like
filthy.
Dead ghost Bluetooths and
these horrible
which
names.
Is what. Yeah.
Letters, numbers.
There also was that period where I feel like Bluetooth, like was it before it got bought or something, where it was like still kind of like a third party technology.
Yes.
It was the vibe. There was like a little sticker on it, like like Bluetooth powered this, you know, and that name, like it's like most things are not, it's like M1 chips and things. It's not like, that's like branded.
Yeah.
A branded like tech. It's exciting.
It's exciting. And that's a really beautiful one. Good job,
I
George.
Love that.
Okay, I have one. Okay, what is up, everyone around the globe? I want to give a huge shout out to, I think the song is called Light of a Clear Blue Morning by Dolly Parton.
Oh,
I love this song so much, and I've been, you know, I listen to it, and it's one of those songs now where I'm like, I'm crying to this song. I don't know, I think I'm taking the wrong meanings out of it, but whatever it means to me is what it means to me, and that's okay. I first heard it because Waxahachie did a cover of it, and I was like, this is the best song I've ever heard. Then come to find out it's a cover, and guess what? The original, I like even more.
And was it written by Dolly?
I think
because
I believe
that's
it was.
The thing, right? Dolly wrote so many songs. What are the ones, the big ones that Dolly wrote that everyone like forgets they wrote?
I Will Always Love
right?
You.
Oh
and,
my God.
So many more.
And, yeah.
So shout out.
Is the story that she did I Will Always Love You and Jolene in the same day? Isn't that
that's like
a big
right. story
that
yeah.
people talk?
Yeah. So shout out to Dolly Parton. Shout out to Waxahachie for bringing that song to the surface. And shout out to All Music Ever.
Woo! Are you looking at me because I'm supposed to do one?
And now, Jacqueline,
yeah, do you
want to
do
turn.
One, Jacqueline?
The guest always does one, probably.
Always.
Yes, yes, yes.
Shit.
And we I will say, we always, it's like
all
a we
think
always
of...
think of them on the spot. Like,
no,
we never
right,
prepare
right.
ahead
yeah.
of time, so you don't have to feel nervous.
Let me think.
Yeah, and you can take all the time you need.
No, I need a trigger.
You need a suggestion?
Like, I need something to get me going. Yeah, blankness. I just go.
How about what we were talking about was going to be your stray topic?
Oh,
something
well,
in that
I
space.
Thought about that, but I thought, okay. Well, yeah, Container Store. Okay, shout out Alpha. Okay, okay, shout out Alpha Bins. Okay, shout out Alpha 30% off. Okay, what's up, Alpha? Okay. Okay, I just want to give a shout out to my, no, you know what I really want to shout out? The new, okay, there's these new brands. I don't know how new they are, but they're the Alpha extensions, okay? They're like people going, hey, you know Alpha and how you don't want that out in your regular home? Well, guess what? Alpha can look more beautiful. They have this new collection called like Avira or something, and then they have another one, Concord or whatever. And I'm really quite enchanted, okay? And I'll even say this morning, I went in and I got 30% off classic. Alpha's always 30% off. I mean, not all year, okay? But you go in there, you feel inspired, and usually I'm too overwhelmed to design the whole thing. But today I went into a Container Store, and the spirit was alive in the Container Store because I just got two track shelf things. I didn't even get the baskets that actually go on the tracks.
Oh, wow.
I got the tracks. I'm going to bring them home, make sure they fit. And then I'm going to decide how tall a basket I can get. And I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to get the fascia that goes on the Ooh. Line. Okay. The thing that covers the rail.
Oh, wow.
Then it no longer looks like Alpha. Then it just looks like a gorgeous and organized home full of bins.
What a dream.
Wow.
Well, that's
that was horrible.
That was stunning.
I choked on my own saliva. I'm sorry. And I coughed.
You got emotional.
Part of in my learning to love LA, I didn't even know they had container stores here.
Are you serious?
I said, that's only in New York City.
Wait, because they have them in the malls even. They have more.
Yeah,
here.
A container store to me is so suburban. Yeah.
Of course,
like,
it's suburban.
It's very like right. If you live in the suburbs, you get it in a suburb. Yeah. You know.
I kind of assumed like people in LA have space. They don't care about containing.
Right. Contain yourself. By the way, how do you feel about is that still their tagline?
Oh, I think
yourself.
It is.
Is it contain yourself?
It used to be, at least.
Yeah.
I was in a yoga class the other day and the teacher opened with, take some time to pull yourself together.
No.
And I was like, that is an insane, how much time do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did they then do a breakdown
just assuming
of that phraseology?
That you're not, assuming that you actually, that you came in and you're just this mess that's throwing, binders are dropping everywhere. Yes.
They're editorializing too much. I like when they're leave the day behind, let's be here now.
Yes,
exactly. That I can deal with, but don't tell me
sometimes
everything
even that,
was horrible.
I mean, sometimes, pull yourself together is interesting, because I could tolerate the yoga teacher or whatever being like, pull yourself together, like, look, let's take a moment. We hear that expression. Oh, I gotta get my shit together. Okay, and then I swore, then the other teacher's not afraid. Okay, but then they pull it and they're like, pull yourself together. They're like, actually, like, we do give out so much of our energy, like, that's ours.
Totally.
And we need to pull it back,
bring
it back, call back your, do your energy hygiene. That would be cool.
But wait, I have big news from our producer.
What is it?
The new tagline for the container store is "Welcome to the organization."
No.
Huh. I'm not loving it.
So that's almost like, is the double thing there kind of like welcome? Well, this is an
organization.
Yeah. Like, welcome to the club.
Welcome to the organization.
Yeah.
It's almost cult-like, which I don't mind.
Exactly.
But that's where I almost think are they kind of trying to like again. A little like contain yourself for when it came out. And then this line feels like a little like not like they're trying to be not straight.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Like welcome to the organization.
They're trying to be cheeky. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're trying to like be like, we know what we are. Like we know you love us and like make your craft rooms out of us. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like
they're weird.
They're very,
I mean, I have to say like Jacqueline, when your next special drops and you come back, we're getting into the container store because there's actually so much.
I mean, they might even have a new tagline by then.
Yeah.
We'll have you back every time they have a new tagline.
I'd love that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for doing it.
My pleasure.
Jacqueline, this was an absolute delight.
Oh
we love
God.
You so much.
Love
we're both
you.
Huge fans.
Yes.
And,
thank you.
And this was a real treat.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Podcast ends now.
Want more? Subscribe to our Patreon for 2 extra episodes a month, Discord access, and more by heading to patreon.com/StRadiolab.
And for all our visual learners, free full-length video episodes are available on our YouTube.
Now get back to work. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke.
Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.